Welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Self-Help Podcast. This is episode 7 with me, Edward Lamb, and we've got Sean here. Say hi, Sean.
Hiya, Ed. It's amazing, this is number 7.
It is, I know, and this is the first one, cue round of applause, that we've recorded since...
Hooray!
Since it's been in the wild, we are now online, we're in the iTunes store, we're doing pretty well.
It's good.
We've had some good feedback, haven't we, so far, and Yeah, it's kind of it's exciting to get something out there when you've been talking about it for so long.
The feedback I've had has been lovely. It's been great.
Let me boot it up because we've been asking for reviews in each of or almost begging for them, if we're honest. And you've responded. So aside from the reviews from myself,
I did one.
We've had 13 five-star reviews so far, which is fantastic. So I'll read out a few here. One from Cadmeister. Love it. Absolutely great idea. Reminded me of the TED Talks, which is pretty cool.
I like that.
TED are amazing. Yeah. I can listen to it all day. Stimulating conversation in a relaxed atmosphere. That's kind of what we were going for.
Yeah.
So thank you, Cadmeister. Similar reviews from RBRMP. Now, I know who that is. That's my pal, Rob Bentz.
Is it? Oh, there you go. Thanks, Rob.
And I need to thank Rob because he was a big help in helping inspire this because he has a podcast called... The Property Podcast,
which has been an amazing success.
We'll put a link in the show notes to them. Rob, fantastic resource that they've developed. Completely free, of course, so have a look at that if you can. Thanks, Rob, for the review. 5 stars from Cordero Medio. A great mix of current events, musings, and general chit-chat. Two lovely chaps with a positive outlook.
Obviously a very perceptive person, whoever that was.
Indeed, thanks for that. Yep. 5 stars from Herbs84. Bethany Evans 83, Liam 468. There's a lot of numbers at the end of these people's name, but thank you for your 5-star reviews. That's the important number, much appreciated. So yeah, if you could do something similar, if you could leave a review for us on iTunes, that would be amazing. You don't have to leave a 5-star review, it'd be good if you could, but if there's anything perhaps you think we could improve, let us know, right? Because we want to make this as good as we can.
Yeah. If it's getting better, it'll get better and better. It'll be pretty good in the end.
It will. And of course, you can pick up all the information that we talk about in this show and past shows on our website, which is liveinthepresent.co.uk. Have a look when you can. Right, this week, we're going to be talking about our weekly topic, which is the male revolution, which is something that we've hinted at in past episodes, actually, that we're going to be talking about. So we're going to dive in properly this time.
Yeah.
Before that, we're going to spend a bit of time about... talking about things that have been in the news and what Sean and I have been up to. So let's dive in. Sean, what have you been up to this week?
My thing at the moment is the idea of getting fit. Ree, my lovely other half, is going to the gym again, and she's reckoned she'll lose a dress size in a month, so I'm thinking I need to do a bit of catch up here.
We're not going to say what dress size she is.
No. She's very slim.
You don't talk about things like that.
I went into a gym, had a look at a gym, and I thought, oh God, I cannot come in and do this. And I met someone who's doing some training to run a 5K. So I've picked up on an app, which will be in the show notes, which is called Couch to 5K. So my plan is over the next 9 weeks to get out of my couch and to be able to run happily 5K.
9K,
so, yeah,
5K.
That's
the next one.
5K, yeah. Well, 10K after.
I hadn't heard of this, but it's funny you should mention it because... I've been studying the rankings for our podcast recently, and in our health category, which is where we are, we're currently number 4, I think. But the number 1 is the NHS Choices. What do you call it? Couch to 5K.
Yeah, all right. Yeah.
So I hadn't heard of it before, but now it's kind of.
Well, I got it as an app on the iTunes App Store.
Yeah. So it looks really good.
Yeah. Well, I'll let you know how I get on. Next week, you'll see me looking pretty slim and cool.
Mm. 5K, you can do that, no problem, sure.
Yeah, piece of cake.
Easy.
Yeah, I never know, might do the marathon.
That'd be cool. Yeah, I'd sponsor you for that.
Yeah, I think you'd come with me.
Yeah, I could do. Yeah. I could do that, I'm sure. Yeah. Bit of training. I've been out there networking this week. I've been plugging the business and what have you, and shaking hands, meeting people, and it's good. Because I spend a lot of time sitting behind a computer, you know, sending emails and pushing pixels around. It's always good to get out there and shake hands and just have a nice chat with people in my area who are setting up businesses, new and old, and getting things moving. So a lot of energy out there at the moment.
Good. good.
Summer's here, kind of, isn't it? Sort of.
Yep.
So people are coming out of the woodwork and
yeah,
full of energy, which is superb.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go on. Let's move on to the news, Sean. What's caught your eye this week?
I got a whole list of things here. First thing I'd like to do is welcome back a guy called Andrew Marr, who, if you're not in Britain, you might not be aware of so much, but he's a journalist, guy with a fabulous intellect, fabulous mind, only 53, had a stroke earlier this year, and he's managed to get himself back in front of the cameras again and working, and he's working to regain his body. I bet it's really great to see him back. That's really good.
Now, he was he loved his running as well.
Yeah.
Was that the cause of his stroke? I mean, was he not overdoing
sure.
it?
I'm not sure. He says that he was pushing himself, both body and mind, too far, too much work, too much everything, I guess. You know, and too so much. Like big lessons to learn.
Too but, much of a good thing, eh?
Yeah, lovely guy.
But he's back, which is good to hear.
It's good.
Welcome back, Andrew.
Yeah. A couple of other things here is that our government spends its time pushing around the health service and the education service. As ways of getting high profile in the news. Doesn't matter which government we've got, they always do it.
Yeah.
We're now down to taking our five-year-old kids through tests. Mm. And when I look at places like Sweden, where the kids that go to school till they're seven and they have better results than we do educationally, I'm not quite sure what we're doing other than being obsessed with creating news posts out of the idea that we're doing something else with education. But I just feel so sorry for all those five-year-old kids that are going to go through all these tests.
You know? Well, you know, I'll be there in a few years with my son.
And yeah.
I'm looking forward to the opportunity of telling him that, you know, just don't worry about all that stuff. Do not care one iota about exam results.
Be a rounded person.
Yeah. Meet some good people at school. You know, learn. But learning goes on outside of school as well. And
Is education about academic attainment, or is education about making a person's life rounded so they can fulfil their potential, whoever they are and whatever they are?
I think, it should change. I mean, the topic for the week as well, forgiveness. That I mean, why aren't we taught more about that in school?
Yeah.
You know, these issues that we talk about each week, why don't we get more information about this at school?
We should. That's true. When we've run the courses, people have said to me, why didn't anybody teach me this when I was a child?
Yeah.
And that's really real.
Maybe we should take our ideas to some higher level. We'll go see our local MP. And
we've got
the same MP. We live in slightly
different. Well, Frank Field is the best one around here for getting things done.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
He's the guy to get.
Alison McGovern is the MP for this little district. She's a cool lady.
Good.
She's pretty switched on.
We need to go and have a chat.
We'll go have a chat about all things.
Yeah, I got a couple of other things in the news here.
More?
I just want to get them in. Health service, we've got 14 health trusts that have gone into special measures. And it's because they're failing in the levels of care that they're providing to people. And with the work I do in different health trusts, it becomes obvious to me that the problems are that we've cut the staff back so far that it's so difficult for the staff to give the level of care that they would want to. And I work with so many staff members who are so frustrated at being unable to provide the care. And that's a real sad thing. And maybe that's something that we should come back to again at another time.
Healthcare and education, they're always going to be big ones. Just issues on it.
Yeah. The last one I'm going to throw in.
Is your fourth one.
Yeah, I'm into it this week. the last one I want to throw in, and we'll have to put a link up on the site, is the relationship between caffeine and anxiety, which is starting to emerge. I mean, we know that caffeine can make people jittery, but there's that idea that are there higher levels of anxiety in countries that have high levels of caffeine consumption?
Mm.
And considering that anxiety represents about 60% of people that go and see their physician, that's pretty high.
You love your coffee.
Well, now I drink decaf, though. See, what I do, I drink espresso. In an espresso machine, but I drink the decaffeinated ones.
What about this cheap instant stuff that I've been
getting? It's cheap instant. It's something that is almost, but quite not, completely unlike coffee. No, it's okay. You know, the only time I ever drink caffeine is if I go to a Costa Coffee or something like that.
Yeah.
But no, I don't drink caffeine normally. And I find if I have a double espresso and a Costa Coffee, I can feel it go bang in the brain.
Boing.
Yeah. So that's an interesting thing for me, but I'll put the link up on the notes for that.
I'd like to mention a US-based story, but it'll resonate with a lot of people around the world because it's a popular show, and it's a chap called Corey Monteith, who starred in a programme called Glee, which I didn't watch all that much, but I know tens if not hundreds of millions of people will have done. 31-year-old fella who has, well, he's OD'd on a mix of heroin and alcohol, I believe. And I think, well, from reading this morning about it, he's had issues with addiction since his late teens, so it's obviously been going on a while in his life. It's not a recent thing. I mean, we talked last week about the topic was rich and unhappy, so we need to talk more about addiction, you know, what...
Yeah, I think addiction we have a warped idea on, because everybody is addicted to something, it's just they don't realise it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's something to be a good topic to get into, then. We're all addicts.
We are?
Yeah, just something that we look down on.
I know, but another, obviously, this is a high-profile chap, and a lot of people will have idolised this fella as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's going to leave quite a dent in people's lives, I would have thought. Yeah. Okay, well, let's move on to our topic of the week, which is the male revolution, which it's a revolution which is still happening, or maybe even yet to properly begin.
Yeah, I'm really kind of stuck with this, because I do so much couples work, and... I don't like to say this, guys, but 99 times out of 100, the problem is the man. That's a bit fair. Okay, 90%. Yeah, that's,
no,
but the thing is that in most cases, the woman is prepared to move and be flexible, and the man is fixed. And when I look at that, and I look at the development of the people I've worked with over the years, the thing seems to be that in the 60s and the 70s, probably into the 80s, women went through a process where they renegotiated their relationship with society. Women went to work. They weren't the stay-at-home mums that they were. I guess there was a big rise in single-parent families, stuff like that. But women have changed their attitude towards society tremendously over the last 30, 40 years. And men haven't done it. So many of the men, even young men that I'm working with, have a pre-war misogynistic idea about their position in the world.
Yep.
And that idea... I had a case this week where there was a woman who's out working, got a couple of kids. The man is a stay-at-home man. He looks after the kids. What that actually means is that when the woman goes home from work, she still has to do the housework and the washing and the cooking and stuff like that, because he doesn't do it. And that is such a common attitude that I get. I mean, I came in here today, and what did you say to me? You said, Beth said to you, you've got to clean this room today.
I'm busted.
You've been busted.
Well, we have,
and of course he did.
Of course, it's been spotless, isn't it, Sean?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we have blue jobs and pink jobs in my household. Oh, so blue jobs are my jobs, thankfully. Which are like things like empty the dishwasher and stack the dishwasher. I'm very particular about how my dishwasher is stacked.
Oh, right. Okay. You're a pedantic dishwasher. Yeah.
Empty the bins, they're my jobs. Pink jobs, yeah, tend to be vacuuming, that kind of thing. But if I look at how my life is, I think I'm a fairly advanced male, 21st century guy. My wife works full-time, 5 days a week. I work 4 days a week, although I end up working most evenings and anyway. But I have William, our son, on a Friday.
Yeah.
So I'm a full-time dad most Fridays,
yeah,
which is good fun. So you know, I think I'm getting there, and yeah, like I said earlier, I've been on a bread making course. I'm a 21st century.
You know how to put a bun in the oven.
I do, yeah, in more ways than one. But I mean, the article that triggered my interest in this is one. There's a British MP, Diane Abbott, who made a speech a few weeks back about a crisis of masculinity in Britain, which let's say it applies to the Western world, maybe beyond there even. Who knows? But she'll warn of a generation of men who are in transit and unclear of their social role. That's which you can see out there, really, can't you?
Hugely. We have an enormous increase in adolescent suicides. Interesting, when you're working in that area, suicides usually come in threes. Don't know why it's threes. You get one will go off, then you get copycats come in behind. The issue with young men and suicide seems to come down to, when I'm working with it, it seems to come down to a lack of purpose and people having no meaning in life. What's the meaning in life?
Right, well, the MP, Diana, her research came from something called the Men's Health Forum, a charity which aims to tackle male health inequalities, and it suggested that men are more likely to take their own lives than women. They have lower educational attainment at all levels of the education system, and they're more likely to be homeless and are more likely to access NHS services, which is all pretty grim reading, really. But this is because there are structural and cultural issues which prevent men from seeking help, which the research concludes. So is that kind of stiff upper lip male kind of...
Still here. That's what I mean about this idea about we need to review the male model of self.
Yeah.
Women are allowed to be emotional. Men aren't. Yeah. Even in countries where we have higher levels of emotional volatility, as you go down towards the equator, you still get that huge change or distinction between men and women. I fear for males in many ways, especially younger males. And one of the questions that comes up for me, which is an evolutionary question that you get in evolutionary psychology, is: does evolution need males? What do we need males for? In a world where we were living in caves and men were protecting and going out and killing the mammoth for food, then men were very necessary. In a world where you go down the supermarket and buy meat in a box, the role of the male diminishes.
Yep.
And I'm not sure in a couple of generations what men will be doing. What will men be offering? And the amount of women that I work with who have had enough of men and have even gone to live with another woman, and I could give you several examples of that, the male's role is to provide a sperm donation.
Yeah.
And beyond that, what is it the woman wants a man for? And I'm not saying that as a generalised statement. I'm saying it's quite a common thing in therapy.
Well, I saw that in the news recently as well. It was about the percentage of single mums in across the UK, but in Liverpool, which is near where we work, there's particularly high levels in certain areas. Like, I think it was like 60% of female only households where there's only a mum around. Yeah. And they were interviewing some of these mums, and a lot of them were saying, well, why would I need a man, you know? Which is crazy to me because I grew up with a pretty amazing dad, and I like to think I'm a pretty good dad as well. So I was like, what? I can't understand that. But at the same time, that mum has probably grown up without a dad on the scene too much as well. So I think maybe it stems right back down to being a good parent, this issue, doesn't it? Perhaps.
I think that in all areas of development, we start off from modelling what it is we observe as children.
Yeah.
So, and I would own, in my own case, I left home at 15 and didn't have a good childhood. And I have children. And I have struggled at times with the concept of what does being a dad mean, because I never really had one. Mm. And I've had to learn parenting, mainly by observing other parents. Parenting and learning the hard way. Which has been tough on the older kids, I think, because I didn't understand what I was supposed to be doing.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, I love the idea that you spend the time with Will and you have a lovely relationship with Will. You can see that. It's a good thing.
Oh, it's amazing. Yes, yeah. Best.
I wonder how many dads are doing that now.
If I look at my kind of friends, well, there's not that many who've kind of started families yet, but the ones that I do know, the household, mum and dad, are very split. You know, it's balanced in terms of, you know, most of them will take turns, you know, putting the child to bed and all that kind of thing. So they're all very much hands-on dads as well.
Yeah.
Which I know, if I look back, I'm mentioning my dad a lot in this one. I hope he doesn't mind. I'm sure he doesn't. But yeah, he was out working 9 to 5 and beyond, actually, because he was in retail when I was growing up, a little one. So he was working weekends quite a lot too. So I don't know if he looks at the way that I'm able to see my son a lot, working from home too, obviously.
Yeah.
I'm kind of fortunate I get to see him all the time. But hey, that's just changing times, I guess, isn't it?
The other side of that, I suppose, in the home is that many women are working now where they weren't before.
Yeah.
And that's where some of the power balance changes, whereas the man was the wage earner and the woman stayed at home and the man had power in that. The man has lost that kind of power and dominance and has replaced it with nothing, which is how you get into the high levels of male mental health problems, I believe.
We should look at the research then that's been done to see how many more stay-at-home dads there are, like myself. Not that I'm only, you know, one day a week full-time with Will. But, I mean, we're talking about the kind of diminishing role of males. Maybe there is a... certain areas of life where the male role is increasing. I don't know. We should look into that.
Yeah, we need to look at that. It's good to come back on.
Yeah.
The it's certainly true that throughout history, it's men that tend to create the problems and women that solve them. If there's a peace movement, someone's trying to resolve something, whether we're talking about South Africa, whether we were talking about Northern Ireland, wherever there's been problem hotspots, it's the female movements that are trying to make it different.
Yeah.
And it's a bit like men go on the battlefield and beat the tar out of each other, and women come on when they've finished and try and sort them all out.
There's a lot of talk, it has been for years, about job equality, certainly in Britain, and again, I'm sure across the water and in the Western world, in terms of women having more role in high-power jobs, whether it be in the boardroom or in politics. There's still a huge indifference there. You know, it's mainly, certainly in politics, you know, I'm not sure the percentage, but it's probably 60-75% male dominated. Similar in the high powered boardroom jobs, wherever they may be. I don't know anyone that works in a boardroom, do you? I keep hearing about these boardrooms.
I do go in some boardrooms. Okay. One of the things for me with women in the boardroom is the tendency that women have to develop male characteristics to compete in the male world.
Right.
And that's a sadness for me, because in psychospeak we talk about IQ, which is the cognitive part of the mind, and EQ, which is the emotional part. And IQ has more value. IQ is more results-based, whereas EQ is more process-based. So the deal for me is, if I've got a good EQ manager, usually female, emotional quotient, that she has a highly motivated, happy workforce, but may miss production dark targets and dates, whereas the IQ manager, usually male, is tougher, harder, hits the dates and has a miserable, demotivated, maybe even scared workforce.
Right.
And that's a bad thing. And it's the balance between IQ, EQ. Yeah, that emotional intelligence and intellectual intelligence need to balance each other. Mm. And that's masculinity and femininity in the archetypical models of how we function.
So there's a chance for real progress for the human race, isn't there? Do you think maybe we're squandering it and still focusing on the numbers too much?
Well, if you look at what's happening across the world, the most likely developments in evolution are, number one would be that we would get rid of ethnicity. Is that as we get this mobility of races around the world and people start to integrate, is we end up with a monoculture, which would be a good thing.
Yeah,
less conflict.
Cool with that.
But I suspect that the same thing's going to happen with genders, that the difference between the genders will get less and less, that there will be less masculine roles and less feminine roles, and that we will start to blend into one thing. And that's the point at which, from an evolutionary point of view, whether males have any role, because the main role of the female is to reproduce.
Yeah.
If the woman could produce her own sperm, then she wouldn't need the male contribution. And the closer that men and women get together.
There's certain animals, aren't there? Is it some kind of frog that can...
Yeah, hermaphrodite animals that are both, really.
In 2 million years or whatever, when humans have evolved to some... Who knows where? Maybe that's where we'll be. You know?
Yeah. But I think that...
Maybe we can last that long. We haven't blown ourselves up and...
People always talk about that kind of destruction stuff. You know, will we kill ourselves off? I suspect that even if we have some mass obliterations, there will still be pockets and groups of people that will carry on.
Sneak through,
that will survive, whatever. But in the terms of you and I now and the world that we live in, I think that we should encourage, and maybe we do this through podcasts, or we do a book or whatever, but we need to encourage men to examine their role. It's the question, who am I? And what's my position in society? Where do I belong? Because lots of young men don't have that. And you were just repeating some stats there about guys who are just not achieving. And we've known for many years that women intellectually achieve much more than men. And yet we still get that imbalance in the boardroom.
Yeah.
Where Alan Sugar is the boss.
I'm out of school. I've been out of school, 14, 15 years? And even back then, it was the girls in the school next door. I went to an old boys' school. They outperformed us, for whatever reason.
Yeah.
But like I say, we still hold down the big high-powered jobs. But
yeah. But that sense of men working out who they are and how they fit into society is fundamental to our survival.
Yeah.
I believe.
We'll get there though, hopefully. Hey?
how long have we got?
I don't know. I'll tell you what. I mentioned the bread making course I went on. It was a birthday present a couple of years ago, and I went to this course in the morning thinking I was going to be the only fella there. There was six other people, and they were all men.
Yeah.
Not one girl. Not one woman. Which I thought was pretty cool. I mean, it would have.
Does
been.
That mean bread making is a male thing? That's like barbecues.
Maybe. Maybe it's kind of, yeah, the baker.
Yes, if you think about, is it Paul Hollywood?
Yeah.
It's his a baking icon, isn't he?
He is.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm doing that cookery course, the cordon vert course, and that's 50-50, 50% male, female. Mm.
We're two 21st century men, me and you.
Obviously.
Metrosexual and all that.
Yeah, that's interesting. Someone said to me, if I'm metrosexual, does that mean I'm gay? And metrosexual assumes usually a heterosexual single male who is aware of fashion, is aware of how he looks, is
okay. Aware well, that counts of body. Me out then.
But I guess metrosexual males would have to get married, wouldn't they?
I guess so. Just finally, though, is one last point just to sum things up. In terms of when children are first exposed to the outside world, when they start going to school, my wife's a primary school teacher. I think out of a staff of maybe 20, 25, I think there's only one or two male teachers at that level. Now, there's a lot more in secondary school. I mean, I remember going to school, all of a sudden you have these men, male teachers when you go to big school. But it's things like that where men need to pick up the baton, I think.
Well, my son, Robert, who's 25
indeed.
Almost, is training to be a primary teacher. And I think he would be a good role model.
Yeah.
If you think about what you were saying about areas of Liverpool where you've got 60% single parent families, that those kids then go to school and they're being taught by women, so that there are no male role models coming in at all. So by the time they get into the... And it's where is the model for them to be able to reenact their own being? So by the time they get into being adult males, where's the learning?
Mm.
You know, does it come off the TV? Does it come off games? What does it come from? If it's not in the home, where does it come from?
Mm, interesting. We'll wrap things up. That's an interesting little topic, eh?
Yeah, but this whole idea is something that we need to look at. Us males, generally, I'm not just saying Ed and I here, I'm saying everybody that's out there listening to this. I'm assuming we're going to get 50% males are going to listen to this. And it's like, I'd like to know from you guys how you feel about it.
Yeah, get in touch. Email us, leave it in the reviews in iTunes or the comments on the website. Because we want to... We can talk about this more maybe in the future, but
this
is going to be a big one going forward in the next...
If you look at the crisis in male identity and adolescence at the moment, it's going to get bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. Okay, thank you, Sean. Wonderful as ever. Next week, we're going to be talking... the topic is called Rich and Unhappy. And we're going to talk about why... I see my wife watching these shows on E4, which is like a entertainment show or channel in the UK. And all the programmes on there seem to be about rich Californians that are really unhappy. So I want to know what the link between wealth or material wealth and unhappiness, and why, you know, we're all working really hard to buy Ferraris and who knows what. Ultimately, these things don't make us happy, so I want to know why that is. And
I have ideas on that.
I'm sure you do.
Yeah, yeah. I had a wonderful client who was a depressive, quite a miserable person, who won £1.4 million on the lotto. And the response to me was, oh, no. And now I've got to worry about that as well.
It's tax-free as well, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Deesh.
Yeah.
Well, if he's having any trouble spending it, then just tell him I'm more than happy to take
it. I said, if you've got problems, I'll do it for you.
A quick resource of the week, Sean.
I'm going to blow a trumpet here. I wrote a book called What Colour Is Your Knicker Elastic? A while ago with Management Books 2000. And it's a book about what is it that makes a person tick. It's about relationships. And the elastic in the title is about the emotional connection between people. But in going on from the topic we've been talking about male identities, it's a good way of understanding people, of understanding how people function and looking at the difference between male and female characteristics. Yeah, so I'm blowing a trumpet for that.
What colour is your Nicolastic?
Yeah, it'll be up on the site, so you can get a link through.
We'll put a link up. I'll quickly talk about a little resource. Well, not little. It's actually pretty amazing, growing resource. It's called Fizzle. Fizzle.co is the website, and it's an online training platform for people who are setting up new businesses. Now, I know all about this because I've been a member, or we have, for Living the Present since it was built, actually. Really good resource. The video training, really well delivered by a few guys in America. Who I'll put the links up to all their Twitter profiles and what have you. Good bunch of guys. Ever-growing and expanding collection of videos and tutorials about podcasting and video production and blogging and all that stuff, which more and more people seem to be wanting to have a crack at, you know, living the dream of the online.
It's the world of communication, global communication.
It is?
Yeah, I know that on this, we're talking to people in Korea, in Australia, in New Zealand. Hi, everybody.
India.
And that's really good. Yeah, India. Yeah, right across the world.
Yeah, amazing. We should mention them all.
Yeah.
It's amazing. So fizzle.co, I'll put the link up. Really good resource. And I think there's an offer on at the moment, actually, whether it is by the time this goes out, I'm not sure, where you can, I think you get the first month for $1 or something like that. So you can join in for basically nothing and have a look what's going on.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's all good. Okay.
Can I chuck in one more resource while we're here?
Oh, that's...
I just think it's fun. It's a thing that won the Cannes Film Festival on the advertisement, and it's called Dumb Ways to Die. And it's really worth looking at on YouTube. It makes you laugh. You'll be singing the song all day.
Yeah, I can vouch for that.
But if you look on the right-hand side when you're in YouTube and you look at Dumb Ways to Fail, which is really where it really comes from, and the idea about can we actually perform at school, especially if you're a guy, and it appears that people can't, that little film is all about dumb ways to die. Dumb ways to fail.
Dumb ways to fail.
Yeah, and dumb ways to die. Yeah. Yeah. Watch them both. They're great. Yeah,
they are
good,
cool.
Good fun.
It's a good find, that show, and I'll put that up as well. Like I say, go to the website, livingthepresent.co.uk. You can find all the show notes that we've discussed today and links and what have you. You can also find links to Sean and I on Twitter and Facebook, yada yada yada, all that stuff. We're everywhere, aren't we?
Yeah, can't get rid of us.
Great, Sean, thanks very much.
Okay, thanks, Ed.
And thank you all for listening. We'll see you again. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.